back to the Chicago Tomahawk. I'm Mike, and I got my line mate Matt with me. And today, we're going to be going over some stories from camp. We have some injuries coming up, and we're going to get right into it. You know what, Matt? They got some comments. You know, obviously, camp is starting. They want to talk to Taser. They want to talk to Kaner. And, you know, man, one thing that you could say about Jonathan Toews is that he's not going to give you some bullshit answer. Do you know what I mean? You know, some toe-the-line type of answer. He's usually really honest about how he's feeling about things, you know, and he said it, you know, that he was, you know, pretty angry about DeBrincat and Toews getting, I mean, DeBrincat and Kirby Dach getting traded away because, you know, they had become, you know, fixtures in the, you know, in the locker room, you know, not just on the ice, but in the locker room. And, you know, he said that he was bonding with them and he doesn't feel that Kirby Dach got a fair shake. And, you know, maybe not. You know, I don't think that Kirby Dach really had the opportunity to develop. We've gone over this ad nauseum. But, you know, I think that Kirby going to Montreal is a really good, fresh start for him. To be able to go somewhere new, there isn't really any pressure there, unless maybe he needs to learn French, and to produce. And DeBrincat, all that he has to do is just continue to you know, produce the way that he has, just shoot the puck, and I think that he'll be good. What do you think, Matt?
Well, yeah, you're dead on about DeBrincat. He's just got to go do his job. The pressure really isn't on him as much as I think Kirby Dach's going to have a lot of pressure. I mean, he's a young kid here. He was in his entry-level contract. Like, it is what it is. Maybe Toews is right. He didn't get a fair shot. But you know what? In the end, he didn't produce enough. And maybe Toews thought like Kirby Dach was going to kind of take his spot, you know, when he was done, and DeBrincat was kind of going to be like the Kaner, you know, the new Kane and Toews coming
right,
in.
Right.
But I just, from what I've seen, man, it I know we didn't get enough. We had injuries with him. We didn't get a true full healthy season kind of Kirby Dach like thing going on. But I don't know, man. I think Kirby is an example of a stud in junior hockey. But he just ran into a bunch of studs now. Like he was more Everybody of a standout is. Guy out there. He was ahead of the game, but now he's in a league where it's like, whoa, I'm not the stud anymore. I got to find my role. And I just don't think it was going to work out here anyway. I'm just very surprised the Canadians took a gamble on him like that. I mean, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money for a kid who really hasn't improved much, I thought.
Well, you know, to his credit, he could say, hey, you know, look at what Jack Hughes has done. And, you know, I think 3.5 is fair. That's what he's getting, right? He's getting 3.5,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I agree with that. 3.5, 4, I think, around that number. But Jack Hughes, I thought, had a breakout year last year. And I think that me and you, we joke about this through text. We always... We kind of pick on him a little bit, Jack Hughes, because it just seems like he thinks he's way better than, you know, he is. Like, even his recent comments about, like, his video game ranking, like, he actually took time to comment about that. Come on, man. Really? Like, okay, if you don't want to play a video game because you're ranked, maybe he's just fooling around, but I don't know. He's making 8, yeah. I think these guys are getting paid based on how they were picked. Mm. And I think the Devils think, you know, they see a lot in him and they're hoping he's, you know, going to take that next step and to be like a superstar type of player, which he, you know what, we pick on him, but he is very skilled. I think he needs a shooter like a DeBrincat, you know, a type of guy like that, and it'll make him better. But, you know, as for Kirby, I think 4 is a little excessive, too much. I would have took like a, and it's 4 years too, I believe he got, right?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, how about a prove it deal? Like, hey,
yeah.
You know what? You need a chance here. We want to see what you got. We really like you. We traded for you. If this works out, we'll give you 3 years. But wow, like Kirby Dach's agent is awesome. Like he got 4 years for this kid. And I mean, from what I've seen, he's lacking faceoff skills. He doesn't have a defensive game at all. I know Cale Makar burned him the one game, but Cale Makar burns everybody.
Yeah,
so
he does.
That's like he's a human highlight reel. But as for the offense, what was his best numbers? Like 10, 12 goals or something? Like it's just
let me look that up for you.
Yeah, it's just not there for me. And Taves, yeah, you know, they bond with these guys. And like, you know, I bet he took him in under his wing, you know, like, hey kid, you're next in line. You're the next center. I mean, you were a third overall pick just like me. And you're going to be a captain one day, maybe, Taves thought. But it didn't work out. And Taves, like you said, he's honest. He's got to move on, man. He's got to start playing hockey, and he's got to get his game back in order to.
Yeah. I think that, you know, as a captain, I think, you know, when they named him captain, you know, they saw things in him. You know, obviously we may see something different from the outside, but from what he believes is they've got a rock solid team there of guys that are out there. You know, they're putting it out there every day, you know, putting in that effort, and he sees that, you know, and it's, I think that it's got to be difficult for him to be a captain to buy in and say, yeah, this guy sucks. You know, this guy's not very good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I think he's a good teammate.
Yeah, he's a really good teammate. He's been probably the greatest Hawks captain of all time. He will go down as the best Hawks captain of all time. But yeah, he's just got to, it's a new chapter in his career. You know, we're not really going to be competing for the next 3 to 5 years. I personally think it might be longer than that. And he's not going to be on, you know, he's not going to be on the ride anymore. So he's got to decide what he wants to do. And I'm glad he's honest about this. I hope the media just ask him this now so we can get this over with. Like,
right.
Say, what are you planning on doing? And if he says, listen, I don't know, then okay, this is all we're going to talk about the whole season. It's going to be boring. It's going to get old fat. Even with Kane, at least Kane actually said, like, I have no intentions of leaving.
Right.
That can just, okay, good. Let's move on now. But Taves, I don't think he really has given us a clear cut answer. He's given us a lot of signals. Like, he's upset. He's been upset for a long time. Yeah. You know, we've been getting rid of players and stuff. And I think he was upset with Brandon Saad. I think Hagel was a big deal to him too.
Yeah,
he's like, wow, we're getting rid of a kid who's, you know, he's a fireball, this guy. And, you know, it's just, I think they're pushing Taves farther and farther away, which is not a good thing.
Doc had season highs, yes, last year, 70 games played, 9 goals and 17 assists. So,
that is not good enough. The problem is in this city, in every sport, they hype these poor young guys, and when they're not performing in time, they're gone. Look what the Bears do with all their quarterbacks. I hate to talk about the Bears. I'm not even a football guy, but I could see it from the outside. Like, they trash these guys, and they're good players, and you have to let these guys produce, though. But Kirby, maybe Davidson said, hey, it's not the type of player that I want, you know? And that's why he probably pulled a trigger on making the trade with Montreal.
Sure. And, you know, he's looking to get some new young draft picks, you know, and he did. You know, Frank Nazar could be the future down the road for us, you know. And Korchinski looked good at the prospect showcase. You know, Patrick Kane mentioned that DeBrincat was one of his best friends on and off the ice, and it was tough to see him go. But he like you said, he said that he hasn't even talked to his family about the possibility of leaving Chicago yet, you know. So, you know, he specifically mentioned that he hasn't talked to his agent, he hasn't talked to his family, and he hasn't talked to his parents about it. So obviously, he has a family here in Chicago. He's got a, you know, his girlfriend. He's got a kid. His kid's a big deal to him, and her family lives here, you know, and he's made a home for himself here. And, you know, it's not a bad place for a legend, you know, to make a Chicago sports legend, to make a home, you know. I'm sure everywhere his girlfriend goes, they throw roses down on the ground for her, you know, and give her the special treatment when she goes to Jewel Osco, you know. So
Kane can walk into any locked door in the city and nothing will happen.
Right.
Patrick Kane, everybody, everybody knows who Patrick Kane is, and they will for the rest of their lives if they're hockey fans. And that's just what he is. He's gonna have a statue one day, no doubt about it. 88 will
absolutely
be in the Hall of Fame. It'll be up in the rafters. His number will be retired. And I hope to God, the day he retires, he is put in a position where he is in the front office, where he's starting like Nick Lindstrom.
Yeah.
And Stevie Y. Keep him a Blackhawk forever.
Yeah.
You know, he's a Blackhawk, man. I hope to God he doesn't go, but Kaner might have that, you know, hey, I'd like to go on one more run, you know, you can't blame him because it sucks losing all the time. He's a winner. He's been a winner his whole life.
Right.
But no doubt about it, he is a Blackhawk. And I think he, with what you just said about his agent, his wife and his family, he hasn't even talked to anybody yet. So I don't think he's even considering it.
Yeah, I don't think so either. You know, to be honest with you, man, I don't know if Taves is either. Taves is probably, he's probably weighing, can my body take this? You know, am I going to go over here to chase a Stanley Cup? You know, it's more about of, can my body take this? You know, and on top of that, you know, where is he going to want to go? You know, other than say, you know, there are some really nice places out there, but they have a really great new facility that they bought that practically was built off of the back of him and Kaner and those cup years. They built a brand new facility there, a gigantic facility where these guys, you know, they have all the amenities there, you know, and like you mentioned, you know, he's the best captain, you know, out of, you know, respect to Stan Mikita, you know, but Taves captain three Stanley Cup teams here, you know, and he's a legend.
Yeah, Mikita wasn't a captain.
And I don't think that, I don't think Taves is going to want to go, man, to be honest with you. I think that
I hope he doesn't.
I think that he's going to want to ride it out. I think he's going to want to ride it. Why does he want to go somewhere new where he could just be a legend here, play hockey, doing what he loves and get paid?
I agree. I mean, he doesn't have anything to prove. I mean, except to himself. Like this year, this is huge for him. If Taves doesn't put up like 25 goals, maybe 55 points, he's lost it. He's worn down. He's done, and he could retire.
Yeah.
You know, after this season, he could be like, "Hey, man, I put everything I had into this season, and it's not happening."
Right.
You know? Or and the Hawks might say, "Hey, we're not going to re-sign you. We just can't. You know, we can't do that." Well, right,
they
now
ask him, "What do you want to do? You know, what's your deal? Because we can't sign you for another $10 million deal." You know,
he's like, "Okay, he would take half.
I'll take five. You know,
exactly.
Can I mentor? Can I mentor these guys? Keep the letter on my jersey, and mentor the next wave of Blackhawks." Tim, if you think about that, man, he comes in, him and Kane, they changed the outlook for the Blackhawks. They win cups, they go through like this dark period, and then they in right away fix the boat for the next wave of success from the team based on
the
these two guys.
Yeah.
You couldn't think of a better story.
No, I would love seeing, you know, him. Listen, I want my C. I want to get teach these guys the right way, what to do, how to be a captain, how to be a pro. And when we find our future leader, maybe we'll see him, "Hey, this C's going on you now, and I'm going to be your wingman." You know, like that's what I believe Mike Modano did for Brandon Morrow all those years, and you know, they kind of passed the torch. I think,
man, he was such a great player, Modano.
Man, he was. He was a force, and I thought he'd be a captain for the rest of his career. And you know what? He's like, "You know what? This kid's the next one," and they gave him the C. So I would love to see something like that. Make a big deal about it. You know, make it a big deal. Like, hey, special announcement at the first season, the first game of the season. You know, when, you know, Taves comes out and he hands a jersey with a C on it to whoever. I think that would be awesome. And that's kind of what they did with Taves. Like at the fan convention, they named him the captain at the first annual fan convention. I was there. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. Like, we all knew it was coming, but
yeah,
they made it huge. It was a huge announcement, and people were going crazy there.
Yeah. Moving on to some bad news, Ian Mitchell is going to miss 6 weeks with a wrist injury. And I'll tell you what, man, this screams deja vu from last year with Wyatt Kalanuk getting that injury. And then we had Caleb Jones. He got an injury. And, you know, Kirby Dach gets an injury in camp. You know, it just sucks because this was a huge year for Ian Mitchell. He broke out last year in Rockford, played the whole season down there. He was going to, I believed that he was going to take a roster spot this season on the, for the Blackhawks. And now this kid's out for 6 weeks. He's going to miss camp and, he's not going to be able to really get into it. I mean, dude, the guys are going to really start getting their legs under them in 6 weeks in the, you know, in the yeah. season. And he's just going to be getting started. So that really sucks. Did you hear anything about that, Matt?
Yeah, it's brutal because I agree with you. I thought he would definitely get a spot this year, and I consider him our best defensive prospect, you know, that's been, you know, putting his time in the minors.
Right.
And I thought it was really his time now.
I agree 100%.
We're building. This is your time, kid. You need to go out and show everybody what you can do because you were awesome in the AHL last year, and it sucks. You know, you feel for the kid, but hopefully he comes back. The Hawks kind of let him, you know, get 100% and they throw him in there and he takes off and he looks good, but they could keep him down. You know, they could keep him down for the rest of the season until he heals, which would suck for him. And his, you know, this, you get impatient. He's like, dude, I should be up there. I think he should, but, his health is more important. So I hope he can get that under control first.
With Mitchell injured, you know, and Jake McCabe also injured. No, that opens up the door for Alec Regul and Alex Vlasic, you know, to take an opportunity. And I'll tell you what, man, I like both of these guys. They both got size. They both use their size to use that long stick. And I think that one of these guys, if not both, could be regulars on the blue line this year.
Well, I've been hearing a lot about Vlasic. A lot of the insiders are saying great, great things about him. I've seen a couple video clips. They're saying like he's just playing like an absolute beast out there. And that's good to hear, man, because the last couple of years, we really haven't had a defenseman other than like Mitchell, who's a different kind of style, who's kind of a run and gunner.
Right.
But Vlasic, I consider him a two-way, but maybe more responsible in his own zone.
Yeah, with good skating ability.
And
he's like a Hedman. They say he skates really well for his size.
That is a guy who I would love to build my team around, a Victor Hedman-like guy. So hopefully this kid can make it, turn some heads, and surprise a lot of people. I think hearing great things about him, it's different when you're starting preseason games. I know a lot of them are starting up now, and it's good to see hockey again. But, you know, you got to see him against pros and how he kind of measures up to other guys. But we've seen a lot of him last year. I thought he was pretty solid. I think he's going to make a spot with, you know, McCabe out now.
Yeah. So you brought up the Bears, man. It's hard to talk about, but I want to let everybody know that the NFL action is in swing here at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. We're talking touchdowns, big plays, and even bigger wins. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. If that's not enough, everyone can boost their winnings with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. Right now, for every leg you add, you can boost your winnings up to 100%. With payouts bigger than ever, why bet on football anywhere else? To make things even sweeter, you can throw down a stepped-up same-game parlay once per game day all season long. Now, what you need to do is download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use promo code SHYTOMAHAWK to get $200 in free bets if your team wins when you place a $5 bet on any football game. That's code SHYTOMAHAWK only at DraftKings Sportsbook. An official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions require See the show notes for details. If you're a gambling man, get after it. A lot of people are making money. As a matter of fact, one of my cousins makes so much money from gambling, he has to put it on his taxes.
Oh, give me his number.
Yeah. So, reports from camp have Domi practicing face-offs with Taves. Rumor has it they want him to be the center in the second line with Kane. Now, I'm not sure how much sense that makes. If Reichel makes the team, which I'm 99% he will, are they going to move him to wing? Nah, I'm not sure about that, man, because I think that Reichel's position is center. And since he's played that, do you think that maybe they're trying to take some pressure off of him and without, you know, maybe at the face-off dot? Or do they just like Domi with his motor just running around at that center position?
I'm not really sure about that one. Reichel, I think they're going to be very, very patient with. If they think he's not ready, I think they're going to let him develop another year, which, you know, is going to hurt him and his pride, but it might be good for him in the long run. But maybe they want to take the defensive responsibility, you know, the pressure off Reichel, because it's a lot of center, I think, is the second hardest position other than being a goalie. It's hard. You got to know when to step in and go back, cover for a defenseman. It's not easy, especially for a young guy. And, you know, the team isn't going to be as good, so you're going to be in your own zone a lot, I'm sure. But yeah, I mean, I'm since we're on this Domi talk, I'm pumped that he's playing with Kaner. But
yeah,
I think I've seen him play wing before. I think he can play wing. And if they do decide to keep... I did too. But, I mean, Reichel is a natural centerman. Maybe they're just unsure about him making the team. And that's why they got Domi kind of working on all the center stuff. But I think it would be a really good line, honestly. You got a skilled guy in Reichel, skilled young playmaking type center. You got Kaner, who's the American goat, and you got a gritty, mean, skillful player in Domi, which I think is going to be a fan favorite this season.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Just maybe don't get too attached, because if he's putting up good numbers, well, somebody's going to throw a first round pick for him at the deadline. That's just the way it goes now.
Yeah,
but I've heard Domi say, hey, I would love to play with the Blackhawks a long time. He loves Luke Richardson. I think he was his assistant coach with the Canadiens all those years, and he loved him. But hey, man, I think that would be an awesome line of Reichel, you know, centering Domi and Kane. I think they'd put up amazing numbers.
And Domi can protect Reichel too.
Domi can protect Kane and Reichel really at the same time.
I don't think he really needs it at this point in his career. I think that he's been in the league for so long. I don't think dudes are going to be
taking liberties out. Yeah.
I mean, he's not, you know, a Trevor Zegras, you know, on the respect, you know, that he should have with guys not going after skilled players.
Well, but you don't want to go after Troy Terry. He's
Troy Terry.
He's a top player. You got to be careful around that guy.
He is. So, really, according to Trevor Zegras, skilled players should not be touched whatsoever. Now, Richardson, from what I've heard from camp, some really great stories, that he's leading from the front, man. It was noted that after practice, they have had skating conditioning sessions, and Richardson himself was leading these sessions by skating with the team himself. I think that's huge, man, because it shows an example of what to do. Like, he's giving the players this feeling like, hey, look, I'm not just a coach standing here off to the side telling you what to do. Like, I'm in it with you. Whether we win or lose, we're going to win and lose together. And that's freaking huge, man, because they said that Colladen, you know, was that guys were so dog tired from these practices that Colladen was putting them through that, like, the puck didn't even drop until these guys are ready to drop, you know. And and that's just the wrong way to do of doing things. You know, a lot of these guys are vets, and it's just another thing that Colladen did wrong. And obviously, what Richardson's doing right. They said that these practices haven't been incredibly long, but they've been very efficient and very purposeful, where it's like, look, for 40 minutes, this is what we're doing. They get after it and then they're done. And I think a lot of guys really, really like that. And Richardson's in there doing it with them. So, you know, I'm going to tip my hat to that guy, because it just sounds like a guy you want to play for, you know?
Oh yeah. That is the exact type of coach we were talking about when we're looking for their coach.
Right.
This is a guy that's been there. He's done that. He's been an assistant coach for a while. He knows what to do. Finally gets his opportunity to be a head coach. He's got a lot of personality. He's got more personality in his chiseled jaw than Colleton's whole body. But I mean, this guy, like you said, and you sent out a really good tweet about how inspiring it was to see him skate. And that was a great tweet, because I felt the same way. I'm like, this guy, I mean, he doesn't have to do that.
Right.
He's a coach and he's doing it. He's showing these guys, hey, I've been here. I know what it takes. And I'm ready here. I want to work with you guys. I want to be here with you guys. And I love that. And this is the exact type of coach that I wanted the whole time. I just didn't know enough about the guy. You know, he's been, you know, in the Canadian media and Canadian organization, I didn't know much about him. So he's like a Rod Brind'Amour light right now, you know, like, yeah, this is the guy you want to play for.
Right.
I mean, he's not as jacked yet, but he could get there.
I don't know, man. He doesn't look like the type of guy that you want to cross check into the boards. Do you know what I mean? No,
if he's not a jacked dude, he's just like solid, I guess. Yeah. You could say, like, if you ran into this guy, you're probably going to fall right on your back. Like he just looks like a mean defenseman. Like what he was, they said he was a mean, stay-at-home, nasty defenseman. Kind of reminds me of like Barrett Jackman, you know, from the St. Louis days.
Yeah.
Just like, he's not big, but his, like,
he's going to carry you out.
The dude's face is just like ripped, you know, like it's just been through hell and back.
Yeah.
But, man, I'm so happy with that, the pick they made. And wait till we get him a supporting cast. You know, we're building. Hopefully we can build him something and he's around long enough to be a part of it. That's all I'm hoping for.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is big for Kane and Taves too, because, you know, they don't have to, it seemed like it was on these guys to carry the team into, you know, being relative again. Now it seems like Richardson is kind of taking some of that burden off of these guys for the team to kind of grow and take that next step. Do you think that maybe he's taking some of that off of them?
Yeah, I think so. I think even Davidson is, you know, he's been, you know, very vocal about like, hey, we have a plan here and, you know, it's not just these guys. It's our job to, you know, we're going to draft better. We're going to sign better deals. We're not going to rely on Kane putting up 100 points every season and finding another gem
with an injured wrist, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you could tell, like, I saw one video of Davidson bringing in Luke Richardson to, I think, the Highland Park high school hockey team.
Oh, right.
They brought him in, and then they brought Kane and Taves in, and, like, that's the stuff they need to get back to. Like, just, you know, it's the big picture, you know? They're just good guys, ambassadors. They're not, like, you know, like the Hawks kind of, I feel like the Hawks got an ego, you know, maybe their heads got too big and they thought their shit didn't stink. And they're kind of getting back to the, like, we want to be like the good guys. You know what I mean? And I think they're on the right path. And I think I tip my hat to Davidson too. He wasn't my first choice as a GM, but, you know, I think he's making the right moves too. There's a couple moves you scratch your head about, but I mean, it's not hurting the team. Like Jack Johnson, come on, I'm not, like, I thought it was pointless, but, you know, he's got to think of the future, you know, like, maybe I can flip this guy for a pick. I got to get over the salary cap basement because we got a lot of cap space now. But I think if the Hawks can get back, like, you know, when Kane and Taves were drafted, I feel like that really turned the tide of the fans coming back, the Hawks getting respect, and maybe all these cups they were winning, they were getting egos. Like, even the management, like,
it's hard not to.
We're gonna jack up our prices because we're the Hawks, and people are gonna want to see us. And, you know, we don't care. Like Stan Bowman was very guilty of this. Like, I mean, the guy promoted himself to be the president. Like, dude, we've been horrible for the last three seasons. How does that possible? You know?
Yeah.
So
how do you get a promotion?
Yeah, you're going to be the president and the GM, and you're continuously burying us. It was a horrible time. And Davidson, I think he's cleaned up very well. You know, he's got us back to respect. With all, like, and you know, you want to move on from what happened, the nasty incident with Beach last year, but you also want to you want to learn from it. You don't want that to ever happen again. So you got to keep the respect with the fans and the players. I mean, like Gretzky said, like I'd want to know if my kid was safe playing with the Hawks and stuff. So I think they're doing the right stuff, and it's just you know. We got to pray for a good season and a good building here. So,
lastly, I want to bring up that Domi commented that he's having such a great time at camp, and it's not punishment to be there. And I think this guy is going to bring a lot into the locker room. You know, he's clearly somebody who doesn't necessarily hold his tongue. You know,
not like his old man.
Yeah, I think he's a lot like his old man. Probably a chip off the apple doesn't fall far from the tree from that guy.
Yeah, I think Ty wishes he had his skill though. Ty was good. Like, he was a good player, but I think he was more interested in, you know, dropping the gloves and being a difference maker in that field. But man, from what I've seen, I think Max Domi he's going to be awesome this year, and he's pumped. Like, how would you not be pumped? Like, hey, you're going to probably play with Kaner, and you're making $3 million a year. And, you know, I mean, he's probably going to be like, listen, my numbers are going to go up. I'm going to get paid next year probably. And maybe I'll play with Kane again, you know? Yeah. So he's got to be jacked.
I mean, he went from playing in Montreal and then to, you know, Arizona,
Columbus.
Yeah. And now he's playing with Patrick Kane. And he's seen when people play with Patrick Kane, their numbers go up, unless, you know, you're Dylan Strom.
people get rich playing with Patrick Kane as Panarin. Got rich. DeBrincat got some cash. I'm excited for the kid. And my favorite Max Domi moment was when Ryan Kessler tried to be Mr. Tough Guy on him and flexing his muscles like he's a little bit taller than him, and I think Max just dropped him in two punches, and I was like, damn, I love it. And he put up solid numbers there in the desert where no one gave a shit,
right?
And they still don't give a shit.
I think
he was traded to Columbus, and it just I think he was traded to Montreal, and he was pumped to play there too. Canadian market, Canadian boy. And maybe it didn't go as well, but his numbers were okay. And then he went to Columbus with Tort. And I feel like he got away from the offensive style because he kind of turned into his old man. Yeah, I remember us talking about him. He's going after Kirby Doc and the youngsters and stuff. We're like, come on, Max, really?
Yeah, I remember that, man.
I'm happy he's with us now, man. Dude. I really am. I was pissed. I was like, come on, dude. Was it the DeBrincat?
He went after somebody that, like, not Lucas Reichel, but somebody like him, dude. Like, somebody he shouldn't like go Boquist after. Boquist, you know?
Or something. Yeah. It's like, come on, man. Really? Like, go after somebody, like, old, you know? You're going after a kid who's got, like, no hair on his face? Come on, dude. Yeah. But I'm happy he's on our team because the Hawks have been 100%. Lacking a player just like him. I hate to say this. I love Andrew Shaw, but I think Max Domi has more offensive skill than he will have. He's tough like Andrew Shaw. He'll block shots. He'll fight you. And I can't remember a player since like an Andrew Shaw type guy. Like we've lacked this. So it makes me old school.
Andrew Shaw also had a lot of puck luck too. So
yeah, headbutt luck too.
Yeah,
that would have been the greatest goal of all time. But it would have,
man. It would have, man.
Shaw was good. Shawzy was good.
Yeah, he was.
But, yeah, I miss him. I hope he's doing well in his retirement.
Yeah, me too, man. I wish nothing but the best for him.
Yeah.
Well, all right, everybody. I want to thank you for listening. If you have anything that you want to talk to us about, hit us up on Twitter @ShyTomahawk. That's our handle on Twitter. And, you know, we'll feature it on the show. Be sure to use our code SHYTOMAHAWK at Liquid IV for 15% off. Make sure you keep yourself hydrated. We're heading into the fall and winter months, and it's still as important to keep yourself hydrated in these in the fall and winter months as it is in the summer. So the link is in the notes, and we'll see you on the next one. This is the Tomahawk, and we're out of here.